Internationally acclaimed trumpeter, composer, bandleader, and educator, Wynton Marsalis brings the Wynton Marsalis Quintet to the Koussevitzky Music Shed at Tanglewood on Saturday, tomorrow, at 7 o'clock. It's all part of the closing weekend of the 2018 Tanglewood season. The concert will also include a very special guest performance by the Ellis Marsalis Quintet, featuring the patriarch of the Marsalis family, New Orleans-based modern jazz pianist Ellis Marsalis. As a leading educator at several universities, Ellis has influenced the careers of countless musicians, including his four musician sons, Wynton, Branford, Delfeo, and Jason. It is a great pleasure to welcome Ellis Marsalis to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're quite welcome.
I assume you still like going out on the road. You still like performing with the quintet. You still like going out and being on stage.
I still like being on stage. I still like playing with my quintet. I'm not crazy about going on the road.
Yeah.
Because I have a gig once a week here with my quintet at a club called Snug Harbor, usually on Friday nights. This particular Friday, I'm going to be traveling. But most Friday nights, I'm here playing with my quintet.
And here is where?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
All right, so that's home. And that's a very comfortable place for you, I would think. And tell us a little bit about the quintet, how this group came together.
Most of the guys, they're all young guys anyway, are from here, most of them. And I had recently started working on a curriculum, a jazz curriculum, even though I'm not teaching anymore. And I thought about what would be the best way to get information to upcoming young musicians that would reflect a certain consistency as far as ensembles were concerned. And I realized that Horace Silver was the best example, because Horace compositionally wrote a lot of music and recorded a lot as a quintet. He did some that was with more than a quintet, but the quintet, as far as the jazz music is concerned, is kind of a lot like the classical string quartet. There's a lot of music written for that string quartet, and there's a lot of performance and music recorded for jazz quintet, because I had been playing with a quartet for a long time. So I talked to my saxophone player, and I asked him, I said, man, who is in town would you like to play with? And he said, well, there's a trumpet player named Ashlyn Parker. I said, oh, okay. I put him in the band, and we've been playing as a quintet ever since. We have a recording out about a year old now of the quintet.
And you enjoy this group. This is a group you're comfortable with, and you can do what you do.
Yeah, that's right.
When you were teaching and worked with many universities as a leading educator of jazz, and of course you are one of the jazz greats, how much of that can you teach? I mean, how much of it do you think is innate, and how much of it can you impart on a student and make them better?
Well, I don't think it's that separate. And the reason why I say that is because the younger upcoming musicians, just about all of them, go to conservatories or universities with good music departments. Now, the improvisational aspect of the music itself is something that you can help them with because of the amount of recorded music that is in existence. For example, you can go on YouTube and hear a lot. However, from a curriculum standpoint of view, the music needs to be codified. For example, if you are going to acquaint some music students with the music of, say, the 1920s, when you're talking about Jelly Roll Morton, Joe King Oliver, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, you have to codify that and put it into an order so that students can get a holistic understanding of where all of that's coming from. The difference between jazz in an academic setting and European art music in an academic setting is that European art music is about 500 years old. And there's examples coming from Ars Nova forward and to the various periods which have names that may or may not really connect that well. Baroque period, the Rococo, Renaissance, so forth and so on. But jazz is really right at a little more than 100 years. And it started from the very beginning in the early part of the 20th century. And it evolved as a result of musicians playing it and improvising, and arrangers and composers sort of grew out of that. Just it was the same way with European art music. The composers grew out of the improvisers.
What role do you think you have had and you've had in your career in that evolution?
I don't know. There's no way for me to really codify that. I've had quite a few students, and it's hard to really know. I've heard about a young man who was at the high school when I was teaching the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. And I'm not even sure if it's the same young person, because he's not as young anymore. But he was not, if it's the same young man, he was not a standout, you know, when I say that. But he got out of high school and continued to play. And I saw him once. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, are you still playing?" He said, "Yeah, I am." But I was on my way to the stage, and he was gone from the club before I got down, so I'm not sure. I didn't get to talk to him. And I think there's a few examples similar to that, where you don't really know how you influence certain people unless they come forward at some point in time and say, "Oh, I studied with him at this time, and this influenced what I do now."
What about your kids and the influence you've had on them?
Well, it was basically the same thing. You know, they went to that very same high school. And when they graduated high school, Branford graduated before Wynn did, and he went to a local, in the sense of the state, Southern University, and played in the marching band and what have you. The following year, when graduated from high school, he went to Tanglewood that summer. And from there, he left and went into New York to study at the Juilliard. And he stayed, never did leave. And the trombone player son, Delphio, when he finished high school, he went to Berkeley in Boston and was studying audio engineering. And the youngest son, Jason, he went to summer music programs at the Eastern Music Festival in North Carolina. And he became an orchestral percussionist by playing in orchestras there. And when he finished high school, he went to the local university, Loyola University. And he played in the Loyola University Symphony Orchestra. Now, all the while he was doing that, he was still playing. He played sometimes with me and my group, and he started playing with Marcus Roberts, who he still is playing with.
Mm.
In fact, he's in Japan right now with Marcus Roberts. So they had so many diverse influences until there's only so much that I can lay claim to of any significance. You know,
right.
I've had to see parents who were very supportive of their kids. You know, like John Batiste, who is the musical director on the CBS.
Colbert, yeah.
Yeah. And both of the parents, the father played bass. They were both very supportive of John. You don't always get that. A lot of parents, you know, like my parents was not that gung-ho about me playing music at all.
But you have to be proud of your kids and the work that they do, and especially in the work that they continue to do in education.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that they do continue it like that.
Well, the Ellis Marsalis Quintet will be performing with the Wynton Marsalis Quartet tomorrow at 7 o'clock. It's Saturday at 7 at Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts. Ellis Marsalis, a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you.
Oh, it's a pleasure for me.
Again, Ellis Marsalis and the Ellis Marsalis Quintet playing with the Wynton Marsalis Quintet at Tanglewood tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the Shed. You can find out more by going to tanglewood.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.